to the City of St. Mary's Council Meeting for November 21st, 2016. And we have an invocation by Mr. Ryan.
Thank you. Please bow your head and join me in prayer. Dear wise and loving Father, as we gather in these chambers to conduct our city's business almost 2 weeks after the election process, we seek your guidance and wisdom to make good decisions on behalf of all of our citizens. We thank you on behalf of all those gathered here today for our beautiful city and for all the good people that call St. Mary's home. And we especially want to say thanks for our country. Again, has demonstrated one of those things that we the people do so well and contributes to making us such a great country. Elected officials at all levels of government do now have the task of leading us into the future. For us here in our council chambers, I ask help this evening, Father, as me and my fellow councilmen consider the matters before us. I ask you give each of us the wisdom to govern while still considering and understanding the many conflicting interests and issues, a sense of the welfare and true needs of all St. Mary's residents, the confidence in what is right, and the ability to work together in harmony, even when there is honest disagreement. I pray, Father, that you guide us in our deliberations this evening in a way that our actions make our beloved city of St. Mary's only better and able to move closer to our goal of being the very best we can be as a city. It is in your most blessed name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge my allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk?
Yes, sir.
Have the roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Councilmember Nutter, post one. Councilmember Perisky, post two.
Present.
Councilmember Gant, post three.
Present.
Councilmember Riley, post four.
Present.
Councilmember Caldwell, post five.
Present.
Councilmember Williams, post six.
Present.
Mayor Morrissey.
Present.
Sir, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like a motion for approval of the minutes of November 7th, 2016.
So moved.
Mr. Caldwell, and I have a second from Mr. Riley. Any changes or additions that haven't already been sent in? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Madam Clerk, that's unanimous.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to move into presentations. The first one is we have the Downtown Development Authority annual report from Mr. Gary Strait, our chairman. Welcome.
Gary.
Could you stand up?
Stand up. We have Deb Powell. I got Sheriff.
Go on, Mike.
And Becky, our staff support.
Okay.
I apologize, the information didn't get to you in your package. It was just handed out to you. What you have in front of you is a letter or from me. And an attachment which covers all the projects that we've been involved with over the last 12 months. I'm not going to read this letter to you because I know you can all read it, but I would like to highlight a few items here from the accomplishments. We utilized our facade grant to good success this year. We've installed and designed new signs for the the park under the RSVP program. We've done some work on the Tabby Trail, and we've also championed the downtown improvement program. Under economic development, we were heavily involved in the CAD. We paid for the consultants. We supported the zoning of the mill site, and we were strong supporters of the Gateway project, and as that works out, so we've spent some of our money to make all that happen. I think probably our most major contribution last year was the development of the Rest Palooza or the vintage market with the help of Marie. Thank you very much. It was a very successful successful weekend. We brought something like 4,000 people in the same area. We had helped them develop the program by giving them a loan, and they said they paid it on time. We had a contract with them, and we were splitting fees, and the net contribution to the city or the downtown development authority was about $10,000. So it was a very successful program. We're going to do the same thing in March. I think March 10th or about day of that. And we're going to expand it and utilize the grounds of Orange Hall at the same time. I guess one of the organizational accomplishments is this book, which is basically going to be the DDA Bible going forward, as we proceed with helping the city do some things. It's very comprehensive. The attachment that you have here, the 7-page attachment, is a rating of where we are now. About 50% of this book is being worked on. It's either done now or under consideration. There's about 50% of this book that can't be done right now because we just don't have the resources and the money to do it. Those are going to be midterm, long-term projects down the road. Where we got our money last year, we basically spent our reserves to pay the attorney fees and pay the consultants. We have a little bit of rental income, and we developed, as I said, $10,000 we got from Russell Palooza. We didn't use any of the city's money because we didn't have any last year. The city didn't budget anything for us in fiscal 16. Thank you very much for fiscal 17, what you've granted us so far, and when we spend that, obviously we'll be coming back to ask for more. That's about it. Going forward, this is going to be our outline. This is what we're going to be doing. Everybody's got a copy of it, and I guess now I ask for questions if you have anything.
What do you currently have in your account, money-wise?
About $65,000.
$65,000?
That's money was spent.
The other 20.
That's money was spent.
About
$45,000. Mr. Bruce showed up while you were talking. You didn't want to introduce him as part of the
DDA as well.
All the way up.
Other than that, anybody?
What's your problems? Well, money's got to be one of your problems, obviously.
Right.
But with that exception, what other problem do you have, or two? Top of the list.
Resources, human resources. Becky can't do everything, and we're a volunteer board. We've got to do something like going down here. But we're going to be heavily involved in the events and doing things. We need human resources to do it, and that, I think that should be the key. Obviously, to be key. I think the third thing is that we need to really do something with that piece of real estate down the road. That's very important for the city. So, 1, 2, 3. Human resources, money, game.
Okay.
And this.
Anybody else? Gary and everybody, thank you for the year. We really appreciate it. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. People don't see it every day.
So. Absolutely. That to you and to every member of your board, you all don't act like you're volunteers. You really pour your heart into this thing, and I appreciate it. And the council does.
So if anybody has any questions on these things, email me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's everyone.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I've asked Becky if you want to come up and introduce Barbara. Of course, I've added an item on the presentations.
Hello, everyone. So everybody knows we had a hurricane. We're working
working on recovery, and so the Small Business Association is, Barbara Wilcox is here to help explain to everybody what one of the resources is available to the small businesses that suffered economic impact from the storm.
Welcome, Barb.
Good evening. Thank you for welcoming me to your beautiful town. You know, I just want to take a few minutes to tell you about Small Business Administration Economic Injury Disaster Loans, which are available for Camden County. And actually, businesses have until July 17th of next year to apply. But we encourage everyone to apply as soon as possible to get in the system. It takes a little bit of their time, and when it's approved, they can turn it down if they want. It doesn't cost anything except their time. A lot of people are still dealing with insurance, and they don't know what they're going to get from that, but we tell people to do it. They're great rates. I've got fact sheets just outside the door to your right with all the rates on for businesses, deadlines. There's three ways you can apply. You can call our 800 number, 659-2955, and they will send you an application. You can go online and you can apply online. It's called an electronic loan application, and that website is on those fact sheets just outside the door. Or right now we've got a business recovery center in Glen County in Brunswick, and that's the closest one to you. People like that one-on-one where a customer service rep sits down with those business owners and just goes through the application and makes sure that everything is good to go. We encourage everybody to go over there and do that while that's still open. There's also a disaster recovery center in Brunswick, and they can also go there. They don't necessarily have to go to the business recovery center. But what they did was they broke them out because the businesses do take a little longer, and there's two customer service reps over there, and they'll help everybody through that process. They, of course, need to bring their income information. If they're a sole proprietorship, they would need to bring their income tax information. If they're a corporation, their business information, their sales for about the last 3 years. But we can walk you through that process and get that in. And like I said, the rates are great. They average about 4%. And it's a U.S. Treasury check. And it depends how much you borrow, how long you have to pay it back. And that's all I have. I'll be here if you've got questions afterwards. Thank you for the time.
Well, I want to appreciate you coming back after we met a few days ago. And I know some of you may have investigated this again, but if you have additional questions, and like Barbara said, there's materials outside. You never know when something might just change it to make it worth your while to ask or go do the interviews. And we do appreciate you coming down to be here at the meeting and speak to us, and hopefully, as you said, it lasts through July.
July 17th is the deadline to apply. A little longer for businesses because they don't know, particularly since you haven't been through Christmas, how much they lost you. So that's why they have a little longer than individual assistance program. That expires December 16th. And as you probably know, Camden County did not qualify for individual assistance. So the deadline for businesses is July 17th.
Okay.
Just last night, as a closing of business, we topped just over $4 million in loans for the state of Georgia. But SBA would love to see that number go up. We would love to help as many people as we can.
Okay, and we talked about this concept of what the requests have been so far in Camden.
Yes, sir. Last week it was zero. We would love to get that number up.
Okay. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank
anybody,
you.
Please
thank
make
you.
Sure get the cards from Barbara. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate that very much. All right. We have a board announcement of a vacancy. It's Development Authority of St. Mary's, Mr. Gerald Roberts. We thank him for his service. And we also have a board announcement for term expirations for the Development Authority of St. Mary's, Sean Myers, Mark Ottinger, and Dave Riley. And Madam Clerk, those forms are on the website.
Yes,
and
sir.
If they have a problem, they can call you and you'll help them work through it.
Yes, sir. And in the hallway as well. Here at the
All right.
Desk.
Thank you. And then finally, we have a board appointment term expiration for Camden County Board of Education Sex Education Material Review, Bree Ayers.
Yes, sir, remember, we didn't get any applications.
Right, so we'll leave that open. Thank you. All right, council, can we set the consent agenda, please? The first is the old business, Osaka Ichiban. Doing business as Osaka Japanese Steakhouse.
Consent.
Okay. Consent means that that's passed. All right, just to be sure, people don't have to stay around. All right, new business, St. Mary's Airport Federal Capital Improvement Program.
Consent.
St. Mary's Multi-Use Path. Talk about that.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
St. Mary's Dock and Moray Facilities, we should talk about that. Resolution Temporary Signage, we should talk about that. St. Mary's the Police Department Coast Guard Building Emergency Generator.
Consent.
K&F Allen's Bottom-Up Saloon, new alcohol license.
Consent.
And Pilot Travel Center Alcohol License Revision, name owner revision.
Consent.
Okay, thank you. Consent agenda consists of old business item A, new business item A, item E, item F, and item G. Can I have a motion, please?
Go ahead.
Move we adopt the consent agenda as outlined.
Williams, and I have a second from Mr. Riley. Any further comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same, Madam Clerk, that's unanimous. Thank you, Council. All right. Can I have a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Mr. Caldwell, I'd like a second from Ms. Williams. Any discussions, comments, suggestions? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Madam Clerk, that's unanimous.
Yes, sir.
Madam Clerk, just to be clear, you have the vote count as Ms. Williams, Caldwell, Riley, Gant, and Haluski.
Yes, sir.
Okay. 5, not 6. Thank you. All right. And now I'd like to move to granting audience to the public. Please come up to the podium and state your name and address in 5 minutes. Thank you.
Karen West Berry, HPC Chair. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to you about the temporary signage resolution. I appreciate what y'all said at the earlier work session. I want you to know that I'm not speaking for the HPC right now because we will be talking about this next week after our meeting. I am speaking about my opinions, and I believe that most of the HPC feel the same way, but I'm not going to say that now. First of all, we understand that this sign thing has been, this has been with me since 1990-something. I mean, the first time I was on here, you know, this time it's just been 4 or 5 years. That's all we do is talk about signs, and there's got to be something. We may not be able to do everything, but sometimes there's got to be an end to it. It just flipped back and forth, as Mr. Gant said that or not, or one of you said that, you know, you're talking about it, and then you get it settled, and then also it goes the other way, and it goes back, and it never ends. I want to say that, you know, what are you proposing here with Jeff Adams' office, you know, handling it? That's fine with us. We don't have a problem with that. We really don't have that problem with that many signs. It's just the ones that we do have a problem with are all the ones you hear about, like banners or things like that. And as to what Ms. Persky said about, you know, this is a trial run. Well, it is a trial run. You know, we understand that too. But a lot of what's in the trial run is something we already were dealing with before this ever came up, like banners and all. I mean, And the things that jump out at me are that somebody somewhere else in town can put a sign downtown. I think it's item number 4. Any business owner can put a sign, you know, they're out of the district, but they can put a sign there the way I read it. And I pointed out to Jeff today by email, and he wrote back, he said, that was a good point. He said, any business can put a sign, you know, downtown. Well, that's not what our historic district is. It should not be flooded, like Mr. Gant said, with all signs and things like that, the banners and all. We've had banners. It says with the owner's approval, property owner's approval is what it says. Well, we've had that issue before, too, because we had a banner that went up on the picket fence of the Goodwin House, because we all did it was okay. That it wasn't framing with the Goodwin House, it was something else, but she was out of town, and somebody contacted her, said, we could put it on the fence, and she said, they said, yeah, and here it is. And that person that put that sign out had been to us like a month before, trying to put it somewhere else on a building that nobody, you know, didn't have a clue where it was. So it's that kind of thing that it just, there's no way, I mean, I don't know what you do, I don't know what you do, you can't get people to pay attention. And when we do something to try to stop that, then they meet with y'all, and we don't always hear about it. So efforts like this, you know, this thing that came up here with the temporary signage, it's, you know, it's our opinion, it's their opinion, it's our, and it goes back and forth, but usually it winds up their way. And things like this banner really bother me. But if you can have Walmart or Taco Bell or somewhere put a sign downtown, I mean, what are we, a billboard? I mean, and everybody compares us to Fernandina. Why aren't we successful like they are with their Main Street and all? They don't have all these signs. They don't have giant bullet, you know, animals and they don't, all that stuff. But they're successful. There's something they're doing, and it has nothing to do with the signs. I have no problem personally. Jeff's office wants to approve things. That's fine. HPC's not diving for a power grab. We do want the first private telling you where it should be and what it should look like. You know, and banners that don't have a frame, don't have anything, you know. But the flags that you put down the meeting are beautiful. We don't have a problem with that. You know, I do have, like I said, I have a problem with banners. I have the, Jelly Belly thing down here. I mean, I had no problem with that as long as it's temporary. I understood it was for the scarecrow straw maybe. I'm not sure exactly how it went clear, but that's a fun thing. You know, that's nice. We don't care about that. You know, if it's going to be there forever, you have to take into consideration that blocks traffic. It draws children to the first place. And if a parking's by, you know, who's going to see the child step out from behind someone? There's liability as far as I'm concerned being on the sidewalk. It's not just the HPC. But I just, you know, it's things like that. It's things about using the district as a billboard for the rest of the town. That disturbs me. Banners disturb me because they're not always neat. And we came up with a solution at that one time when somebody would have put a banner. He said, okay, it was going to be a banner that changed, you know, with the theater, with production. So he said, just put a frame up, get permission from us, put a frame up somewhere like on this time of Welcome Center was down by the hotel. Put it on the wall, and these banners are the same size. You get them every show. Just replace it in this frame. Rather than have a banner across the front of the Welcome Center down there, they had roads kind of between two pillars, green and purple, you know, I mean, just a frame, because a wooden frame would be something that would win historically speaking. Now that's, I realize I'm rambling around, but I didn't really intend to speak tonight, but that bothers me. But the other thing that bothers me are the feather signs. While they've tried a lot of attention, they're always, everyone I see is faded, and you can only read it from one direction. And they're flopping all around, and I don't know that they actually draw people's attention to a business. So maybe you've had a different experience, but you can ride out to Midtown going that one. There's some out by the sidewalk and they're all flopping around. They're not even straight up and they're faded. And read from this direction, you can't read them. Downtown, you can't. So anyway, I mean, it's just the appearance. That's what the HPC is concerned with, appearance. We want to stay historic with them. We'd like to have wood frames, not banners. So, but anyway, I do understand that you need for temporary signage.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, who's next, please? Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
Well, thank you for letting us speak. I'm Deborah Cottle at Cottle and Gun, and this is Maria Reedy with Brussapalooza. And we just met with the business owners for a short meeting prior to this council meeting to get everybody aware that we are coming back on the 10th and 11th of March, which Gary alluded to as well. And we just wanted to I want to present Maria because many of you probably have not been introduced to her. And since she's here, if you all have any questions about Brussapalooza and the impact that it does have on our city, then this would be a great opportunity to ask them. So, Maria?
Did you want to say a few words, too?
I'm sure. One thing I would like to announce to you guys is
we have commissioned a local artist who's going to be designing the spring poster, so we're keeping it all. It's going to be a rendition of Orange Hall, just so y'all can see it. And you'll get a sneak preview.
Yeah, let's all in.
So you'll see the poster version coming soon. We have expanded the event to a two-day event, just due to the number of people that did attend the last one and in the fall. We've added an additional feature on Friday. It's going to be called Ticket with a Purpose, where they pay a higher ticket amount, but that ticket amount goes to a designated project that's going to stay in downtown St. Mary's during the DDA.
Great idea.
So, we're expecting a large crowd. I know people already have rooms reserved, they're ready to come and shop, so.
And so from a size standpoint, I think I heard something about maybe moving food vendors off property so you can have more vendors.
Correct. We moved the food vendors that we're going to be closing from Stable Alley around the corner to right before Osborne. The food vendors will be out on the street, as well as the ticket entrance. We'll be adding additional vendors on the Gateway property, and we've also added Orange Hall, which will come in another 40 to 50 vendors. As of today, we had 114 applications to be vetted.
How would you say the response here is compared to all the other ones you do around the nation?
The response here is great. The people love coming here. A lot of the people didn't realize how beautiful downtown St. Mary's was, and that was part of our goal, is to bring people to downtown St. Mary's and let them know what is available and what other things they can come back. I have a couple of vendors that are coming back here to get married now because they came as a vendor, and now they're like, it's gorgeous, we're going to get married down there. So we're working towards our goal of bringing continuing business. So.
Are you the founder? Or
yes.
How did you ever come up with this?
It started in 2012. I owned an antique store in Jacksonville, Florida called Rusted Market, and we would hold a little outdoor market. It started with 8 vendors in 2012, and it's just grown exponentially every year. And fall of last year, fall of last year, I was looking for a bigger venue. If you believe, I could not find a bigger venue in Jacksonville, Florida that could accommodate everything that we wanted and have the charm. So Deb goes, come up here. I'm like, okay. And we came, we toured with Becky the different properties, and I walked on the gateway. I'm like, this is where we're at. It's just gorgeous. So.
How many vendors did you have last year?
We had 54 vendors last year.
And how many do you think you've got?
We can accommodate probably 90 on both venues.
You think it'll be sold out?
They just say save me a spot, and these are the ones that actually filled out applications. So I have several vendors from them that are already like, I want my same spot. No questions asked.
Did you make sure the weatherman promised?
Did.
Good.
That's
what I'm asking. It will not rain. I will mention too that, St. Mary's hosting this event is huge for this town, and we definitely need all the help that we can get as far as volunteers. Things that you don't think about, just people to take tickets, and this is our time to highlight the town.
In response to that, I would suggest you make a presentation at Kiwanis.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a lot of volunteers there.
Okay.
And just come and tell them what you're about. And of course, they know about you because of what happened last time.
Right.
But they're into everything from a civic standpoint. Okay. I'm sure you can get volunteers.
Yeah, because I think some of the statistics were, I think, what 80% of all people that came to WrestlePalooza had never been to St. Mary's. I mean, it was huge as far as, people that had never even heard St. Mary's.
Well, you're on video, so anybody who watches the program will know. Thank you very much, ladies.
You.
I appreciate you
Thank
doing
you.
This on the quick. All right, who's next, please?
I'm Lynn Lee Card. I'm one of the owners of the Blue Goose. And I just want to thank everyone for all the effort that you're making about this temporary signage. It's very important to us as a local business to have some flexibility to be able to advertise our specials, to be able to promote events that are happening, and these things that aren't always planned a month in advance. And so we need to be able to exercise flexibility in what's available to us and what the community is asking for. We have a wonderful feather flag that is HPC approved, that we put on the corner when we have wine tastings, and it does attract attention. We definitely use it as a temporary sign, and we've gotten a lot of good feedback from that. So thank you, everybody, for your consideration, and I'll be working through an ongoing discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We need your input. We really do. Thank you.
Very good.
But that's...
Terry Atkins, 200 Weaver Street in historic downtown St. Mary's. I want to remind council of the process that's happened to get us to the point of considering a temporary sign in the form of a resolution. So think back about what you heard from downtown businesses. They wanted some way to promote their business, and they were willing to do it on a temporary basis. So Jeff Adams reached out to the downtown businesses, particularly downtown, because those are the ones that are screaming for help. Some other midtown businesses were represented at that meeting that he arranged. So the input that brought about this possible resolution that you're going to consider was from businesses. And businesses are the ones that are involved in making their own sign decisions. So when residents step forward and tell you what they want, that's the other part of this equation. They've had plenty of opportunity to do that over the years. The businesses were represented at that meeting for a temporary resolution. So I want you to keep in mind that it's the businesses that you need to serve if you're going to have a thriving downtown. So you need to take care of each of the businesses, and they're telling you they need some help with temporary signage. That's what this is about. It's not about writing long-term ordinances. It's not about individual groups reviewing what they think the sign should look like. This is about helping businesses on a temporary basis. You're working on a long-range plan to come up with a sign ordinance. I know that that's going to happen. We're being patient. We'd love for it to incorporate some of these elements of this temporary resolution. But remember, these businesses need some help now. Give them a time, give them a space, let them have some flexibility. Why not give a try? Let this resolution go through. Give them a try. If you don't like the outcome of this temporary resolution, then write something in the permanent ordinance that addresses any concerns that arise. Thank you.
Okay. Who's next? All right. Thank you very much for the input, everyone. And the old business has been taken care of. So Osaka Ichiban's alcohol license has been approved. And we'll move on to new business. The St. Mary's multi-use path project contract award. Mr. Holman, do you want to come up and...
We want to have an emergency and have to leave.
So, thanks, all right.
What did Lee get as well?
Oh, gee. Okay.
At least it's not a leak. Get me out of here.
A water leak.
You couldn't ask for anything more.
All right. Just make you aware, this project is, we use the term, the T21, ICE-T, Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act. This has been anything but efficient. I'd like to present this. It's been years in the making. If you remember, the last time we were before you with application was asking you to reject the bid because there were problems with the bids that had been received. It was just one bid. There were no reason carry over its numbers. There was some significant issues with it. We did receive two bids, one from Swindell Construction Company, with a base bid of $192,891.15, and one from Wimpy Enterprises, Inc., for $234,631.20. This project is a walking path and rail lane along the Howard Gilman Waterfront Park, and that section of the land will be subdivided off 25-foot section, if I remember correctly.
It goes around the site. This base bid is for phase one, and that is for a walking trail from after you cross the bridge to the pier. It stops at the pier, and then phase two would be beyond that, and phase three would be an area beyond that. I believe this also includes the pergola that goes over as you enter.
It does? I thought that was a bid item.
I gotta look at that and go further.
I think it's a bid item.
I could be wrong there. Really, probably. We are only recommending the base bid. The amount that we have available from the P grant fund is $200,000. The base bid is $192,000, $891. If anything else should come up while we are working in there, getting any change orders, anyone, that $8,000 could be used up very quickly. Of course, to do a change order, we would have to go through the Federal Highway Administration, our engineer, that would have to come back for approval. This isn't as quick as we used to do other approval. We did build into this grant, or into this project, a timeline that if they are still working while the Rustapalooza begins, that is, that festival comes up a few days before the festival, they have to shut down, close up, get all the equipment and material off the site, and open it up for pedestrian traffic. That's built into the contract.
To the $192,000?
That's in the $192,000.
So it's not going to cost any more?
No, it's in the it's in an addendum that was approved by the FHWA and put out as part of the contract specs. Was discussed at the pre-bid meeting and will be discussed again at the pre-construction meeting.
Good. Good.
It's always good to remind.
Absolutely.
So this is, it was a concern of ours because the project got pushed out there. Now, because this is a smaller project than originally intended, that is the entire walkway, it may be long since completed by the time this goes in, but that'll depend on supplies and everything else. The funding from the grant will pay capital costs. So this $192,000 is fully covered by the grant. The city's matching share has already been paid for through our engineering fees and costs that we paid to get to this point. We will have a few engineering fees as there are certain requirements on the grant that we must follow through on with testing and oversight of the project.
Do the engineering fees cover the entire project as opposed to this first part?
The engineering fees covers all permits and all engineering for the entire project.
Okay, so we
not have to go back and redo the engineering for the other two.
For the new phases.
Nor get the permits as long as we obtain funding in a timely fashion. For some permits you can renew over periods of time, some permits expire.
How about the matching funds? Once you use them, are they gone?
We've already paid the matching funds.
Yeah, I understand for the first three projects to finish that. And as we go to the second and third, what will serve as matching funds then?
We have to provide the matching funds.
So we still have to come up with
construction and whatever engineering oversight of that project, such as bids and specifications and project overview.
That's going to be my next
question.
You got me.
Exactly. That will happen as we go forward. We can hope we get another $200,000. I would hope to get another $300,000 and close this project out with matching share from us. That would finish up this walkway and we'd be done with this project. Yeah.
Well, that's going to be my question. What's the next schedule for the way this grant works?
That'll depend on the next Federal Highway Fund Administration. I wouldn't even guess at that based on things are going to change.
This is normally a 2-year cycle, 1-year cycle.
Well, the Congress funded the Highway Administration for, I think it was 4 years or 5 years in the recent bill. I think that was about 4 or 5 months ago. So this funding should still be in place. We should see a request for grants to come out. But we do have a change of administration. We are ready to go with another, we'll be ready to go with another grant, so we can get a good application, a lot of all the information we want to get approved, an excellent application, and so we can finish this up. And our next one would be our T4 application, or our Phase 4 application. This is Phase 3.
So from the federal standpoint, the funds that we're receiving are 2016 funds, not 2017, which we'd have to write for the CR, or for the next year's appropriation.
If we did not get out the bids and get this awarded, we wouldn't have been able to go out again until October.
Yeah, okay. So we'll be able to take advantage of it. Is this going to be expiring money as well?
The money expires, you know, about, it might be now, 200 days.
200, okay. So we got to get to one on this.
Yeah, once we start drawing down that number, it's a little bit effective. Yeah. We have to start drawing that money down.
What's your construction contract time?
180 days.
About 180 days.
6 months?
Yeah.
That's difficult. Of course, I'm a big supporter of this. We've been working on it a long time. But I note that the bid, the low bid, exceeds the government's estimate by 10%, over 10%. And if you look at the spreadsheets on the government estimate, well, the consultant's estimate, and the two bidders, they're all over the place. They're all over the place. And some of them are significant, where one bidder is way down low and the other bidder is way up high, and vice versa when you go on down the list. Does, and you're going to tell me it's not allowed, but are we allowed to negotiate with a low bidder or discuss the bid with a low bidder?
The bid price is the bid price.
We don't have that option. I mean, a lot of contracts have that option.
We are government contracts. I'm not aware of us being able to negotiate a contract.
How about,
unless we fail to get bids again, then we might be able to go and negotiate.
You can't discuss. How about discuss?
All right. I think if you do that, just offering some comments on that. I think if you start that down that road, then you have to negotiate with all of the bidders. And now, if you had a sole source contract and you were trying to do something, that might be different.
If I'm changing a contract, term, condition, anyway, I have to make that change for everybody.
Yeah.
If you change the scope of work, absolutely. But you're not changing the scope of work. You're discussing the prices.
I like that. Can't really do that. Remember where this money's coming from? Even
federal
if
government.
Bar money, I couldn't do that. But remember, this is federal money I'm working with.
I haven't seen one of these contracts come in that didn't have exactly what you just described.
We did that all the time in Florida, so I don't understand that. You meet with the low bidder and you find out where's the disconnect or not disconnect, and in that discussion there may be some adjustment.
I'm trying to remember what I used to call it, but you're talking about contract management, or yeah, I call it contract management, where you sit down and you discuss when your bids are coming in over your estimated or your budgetary numbers, and you're going out a couple times, you can't do it, and then you sit down with the low bidder, and maybe the next to the low bidder, and you try to negotiate a price on that contract. But there are certain steps that you have to go through.
I don't have the special provisions or any of the contract documents in here, so there's no way that I could draw that conclusion one way or the other. But again, it's not unusual. It's not an unusual thing to do. And remember now, we're in the South. We're not back up in New Jersey.
I understand that, but I'm playing with federal dollars and I'm playing with regulation.
I won't push it, but I'd be interested in seeing what contract provisions apply. But let me move on. Obviously, you need some extra money. You're going to get into change orders probably. You're going to run into stuff, which is a shame, because you're going to have a beautiful trail there and you're not going to be able to really know that it's a beautiful trail without that entryway trellis. And you got two bids on that entryway trellis. You got $18,000 and $25,000, which sounds like a lot of money to me, but in any case, is there any interest, I throw this out, is there any interest in supplementing the contract amount from city funds to bring in that entry trellis at this point? I'd like to open that up. We're in discussion, right? Are we in discussion?
Well, we're really not in discussion. We're in presentation. So I think.
Can I move to approve for discussion?
I'll second.
Well, are you through with the fundamentals, John?
I'm through, yeah, that's.
Okay, all right. Well, let me ask for a motion relative to this multi-use path project presentation.
I move to approve for discussion.
And I'll second that.
And I'm reaching.
And Mr. Riley, okay, now open it up for discussion with Mr. Dan.
I think, yeah, we passed on the being able to sit down and talk to the low bidder. But is there any interest in, now that we've got a contractor almost, add the money in there for the entry trellis?
You really mean pergola instead of trellis?
Is that something that needs to be decided tonight?
Well, it would be if they're going to include that in the contract.
Well, the entry rate trellis, excuse me, I am looking at trellis.
It says trellis.
Yeah, it says trellis.
I think on the drawings it says pergola.
Liberty Enterprises would be from Calum.
That's right.
I don't,
Swindell Construction Company, Inc., is from $5,000. I can make that part of your initial bid tonight. If the council's interested in that, we can then talk to Swindell Construction. Because it's not part of the bid, and it won't be part of the, it's certainly not part of the second dollars. We wouldn't.
No, it would not. And that's true, but we don't have to move forward on that, obviously. We're going to vote on the contract. But I would ask if we have any money left over.
Yes.
That, and there's a possibility of getting that entry trellis somehow with some money funds provided by the city, I think we should consider. That's all I'm doing.
I think that would also give an option at that point for him to negotiate the price that you're talking about,
right.
Things like that, because it wouldn't be part of this original contract.
Well, I hear two tasks. Mr. Holding, I think we'd like to task you and city staff to understand the inclusion of the pergola slash trellis in the bid for sure, to make sure we're clarified on that. And then secondly, if it's not, to enter into discussions with the selected contractor to determine what might transpire in order to be able to produce that product. And then I think the second task is just to sit down with the city attorney at some point in time in the very near term to determine what exactly are our options relative to negotiating with a contractor in a situation like this, if that's an option or not. And I think that achieves the goal, but now we... Can I move on, Ms. Standard?
No, I'm done.
Okay.
In the letter from Thomas and Hutton, they mentioned they recommend that our legal counsel review the documentation, the circumstances. Has that happened?
It was sent up to the attorney. I don't think I've seen that. They wanted to know if we had followed. They just thought it would be a good idea to double check to make sure that we follow all legal procedures and documentation as we worked our way through this. We did, and that we met all time frames, that we brought the original bids to the council made a motion and threw those bids out, and we were authorized to re-advertise and bid again. We stayed within the time frames again of the contract. We awarded those. We took care of that. If you would like, you can condition the award upon receiving the review by the city.
Well, this letter is dated November 14th, so this is, you know, relatively a new letter, and they're still recommending a legal review, so I feel more comfortable with that.
So you could award contingent upon
yes.
Review by the
right.
City attorney.
But I'd like to see that done first. That was it.
Yes, sir.
I don't have any other questions.
I agree with Elaine on the contingency, but I'm in favor of it.
Mr. Gant, do you want to amend your motion for the contingency?
Sure. I'd like to amend my motion to award to the low bidder based on the contingency review by our city attorney.
Right.
Second.
All right. So we have a all in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Okay. And all in favor of the motion as amended?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Madam Clerk?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Clear?
Yes, sir.
And you're going to keep an open mind on that trellis and see where we go with that.
When we sit down with contractors, we'll talk to the contractor.
They've been tasked.
Good.
Okay. Second one, John, if you would stay, is the St. Mary's Dock and Mooring Facility, and if you'd give us a review on that.
One of the items I've been looking at with Bobby, on here was the conditions of the city on docking facilities. Not private facilities, just what the city owns, what's the real condition, what maintenance work, and what are we going to be required to do over the next 5 years. This also came up in the RSVP plan, which was to look at and study and understand what we need to do with our own facility. I'm not talking about improvement. I'm just talking about keeping them in good condition and maintaining them with the proper PMS schedule. One thing I don't have is a baseline. I don't know the conditions of those facilities except for what Bobby can see and what he thinks about it. He's not going to make any decisions about it or what he recommends to go forward with these. And it's not that Bobby's not a good engineer, he's not a maritime engineer. I need to know what kind of shape the piles are in, I need to know what kind of shape the concrete's in, the metal connectors are in. And probably as we work our way through this, we're going to have to send some divers down to find out what kind of shape our mooring buoys are in and some of the piles to look at. Now, in this, we're not looking at the dock over at the Gilman site for the simple reason we'd be redoing that dock within the next couple of years. I really don't need that. We know that dock is in good shape at this point. But the rest of our facilities do need to be looked at and do need work. We just don't know what work. The goal on this is to get a good look at the facilities, to come up with a plan that we will be able to implement and to be able to maintain and keep our facilities in good shape for years to come. I can't tell you what the final cost of maintaining those facilities would be, but until I get a baseline on that, no. The goal on getting these two, when we went out with bids from these two companies, was to find out if they had a maritime engineer, if they had a maritime engineer, what the cost would be to do a maritime survey on our facility.
How much income do we get from those docks now, approximately?
Our income, we really don't get income in a direct sense. It's the economic income from people using them and coming in.
Oh, so these are the docks that?
Yes.
Public docks that everyone uses. Okay.
And if we don't keep them in good shape, we're going to lose them. I don't know if there's any damage on the surface. I don't see any damage from the hurricane to those docks, but I don't know what they look like underneath.
So we don't have any way to recoup the monies we put into maintenance, basically.
I think with the maintenance, that we're recouping them by maintaining good maritime structure so that people can use them and come into town.
But I mean, we don't have fees or anything that we have to offset.
We haven't started fees yet. I wouldn't expect to start doing that until we get into the redoing the facility over at the gateway dock there. I mean, unless we start charging for the little pumps that come in at our five-hour dock and the other ones, yes, we could start charging if we wanted to. Fees could be charged at that. We have to have somebody manned up to do it. We are within the next month,
probably getting signed up, and we'll start the cleanout system. We'll be a fee for that.
Well, actually, until we know what kind of maintenance would be required, if I'm healthy, we don't need to worry about the income portion of it at this point.
But for me, I've always, whenever I work on docks or I'm working on waterfronts, I always want to know what condition they're in and what do I need going into the future so that I can budget for it and plan for it.
Yes, sir. Why don't we just go down this way?
You're next.
The big, we're still going to go forward with the big grant, primarily for the pier at the Gateway Center. But can you put any needed repairs, upgrades, whatever that's identified through this study into that big grant?
I really can't speak to that until I see what the big grant is.
He's talking about the tax.
It's waterfront.
Yeah, it's waterfront. It might go into a SIG grant. Coastal incentive grant.
Oh, you mean if it's small enough?
$100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most people would say $100,000 isn't small, but that's considered the small projects. Then the big grant is the, much larger. But the SIG is something that if we identify things we have to do this year that might be $90,000 or $95,000, that would be an excellent application to make.
Okay. The only comment I would make is that the Transportation Subcommittee is looking at exactly Elaine's question with respect to charging and things like that, and they see what happens over in front of Dana. But the outcome right now is that we don't have enough space to dock boats downtown in order to attract the types of people coming into St. Mary's and spending some money. So that will be part of their output when they finish it up. So that'll be interesting to share that.
Sam?
I'm sorry Bobby's not here because I would have liked to ask him. But I'll ask you, John, since you're saying this is what you need, have you looked over the list of the summary of services that, and they say this is what we're going to perform? And is that everything that you need?
That's what we're going to need at that point, because then we have to see, is there something after that?
Well, that's really my next question, is that they've got a list of like 15 different subject areas for exclusions. What's the likelihood of our needing to delve into those?
I think we're safe, except for the fact that I'm probably going to need a diver.
I think you've got a diver.
Divers are built, yeah.
The diver is a part of the services provided.
And that's for the rest of it, I don't think we need it for the site. Now, sure. If I find that we get down there and we find there's a cracked pier or something else and we need something beyond that, that is something I don't think we should find. But
okay, but what about, what's the likelihood of our needing to do an environmental study?
There's none.
None? Okay. All right.
We anticipate. Only if we were going to do something to expand what we have. Okay. Let's say we went beyond a tenth of an acre on our expansion, because the rule is a tenth of an acre or greater, then you have to look at doing environmental studies.
Okay. All right.
When they give us their recommendations, does that come with a cost estimate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll provide a cost estimate.
Yeah, $21,800.
Now, their recommendations when they say, well, your peer here, you will need to do this and this, we estimate that's going to cost this much.
Okay.
So we will get a cost estimate on that.
Yeah, on the repairs.
Linda, did you have anything?
No.
Okay, let's, can I have a motion so we could move on?
Make a motion that we approve the study and the budget amendment to accomplish the work at the Paris.
And the bid of
to award a contract St. Mary's Dock Mooring Facilities inspections to Ball Maritime in the amount of $21,800.
Second. Is that what you need, John?
And just to make you aware, we do check the references. They are an excellent maritime firm.
Okay.
Where are they out of?
Savannah. They do a lot of work there.
Yeah. Good place. All right. For me, this is a bit of risk management. One of the last things we want to do is end up with docks, piers, that we end up having a problem because we didn't anticipate it, and we're out for a year without a dock. And some of the things that we've gone through trying to get the pavilion dock back to where it was, it's just been, I think we've all experienced that. So this is proactive. It is some risk management. Nobody likes to spend the money when you're not going to end up seeing it in some change form. But what we will do is be able to benchmark it, much like we did some of the traffic and road studies that are beginning to pay off now. I think it's necessary to make sure that we're taking care of the waterfront part of the city, and that it's going to have an infrastructure that's going to support that we can then build from. If it's not solid, then we can't build from it. All right. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain, then quite that's unanimous.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, there's a resolution on temporary signage, and I think I'd like to go write the motion, John, if you want to stay there in case there's some questions. I'd like a motion. At this point in time, my preference is that we have an up or down vote. If you would want to make a motion to accept it as proposed, and then we can have the discussion and we can go from there.
I make a motion that we not accept the temporary sign resolution at this time.
Second.
All right, Mr. Riley and Ms. Caldwell. All right, I'm going to start the discussion, and I think it's been very adequately discussed here by the public and also by council people at the previous meeting and during the council. This is always a difficult situation, but merchants and business is dynamic. There's always room for change. I think as you listen to some of the needs that came out of the merchants meeting, it's clear that they do need some, I think that some flexibility in their approach to how they're marketing and how they attract their customers is needed. This is a temporary resolution, and it could be subject to change. If we find that there's something egregious that starts to come out of it that we've missed, then I think we can always go back and address that. I, for one, don't want to see those characters flopping in the wind that you see with used car lots. But again, that can be dealt with. As also has been brought up, the timing of this is such that the merchants would like to be able to use this for the holiday season, one of the biggest that they have. So delaying it by 2 weeks, just to move it, by the time they're able to react, it doesn't give them as much time to be able to impact the season. So I'd like you to consider that as you're going back through this. And if you are going to go in the route that you set up, then we need to be expeditious on this. And if we have to have, if we get enough feedback and we don't have a special call meeting, time is money in this instance, maybe we can do that. All right, so who's next?
I'd like to say that I'm a little concerned about us delaying this because of the fact that the merchants have been set back already because of the hurricane, and another 2 week delay in implementing it will take a big chunk of their holiday shopping away from them. That's my only concern. I'm expressed earlier that I am comfortable using this as a temporary measure. I think it'll give us good experience in the long run. I understand that we would have liked to get additional feedback from the merchants before implementing it, but I'm also torn because I know that they're already been damaged because of the hurricane, and now even a 2 week cutting out of their holiday shopping could additionally harm them if this really works for them. So that's my only concern with delaying this.
No, I thought when we were discussing this at the workshop that the 2 weeks would be very prudent. I think we have to have more input. I don't think we've had enough input. I'd like to hear from the CBB. I'd like to hear from the Historic Preservation Commission. I don't know that we're going to change it a lot, but even if we have some needed modifications, I think 2 weeks is prudent to wait to get that input. I have a personal feeling.
Dave?
Yeah, I empathize with what Elaine is saying. However, I think that the opportunity to get all the parties in the room at the same time to look at this so that we truly evaluate the output and not focus in on these little issues that might come up as a result of this thing being issued before it's the due diligence is done. But I think it's important that we make that meeting happen and we invite the parties and give them an opportunity to say what they're going to say in front of each other so that they can work out the differences is very, very important if we're going to get some that we can use even to accomplish what the Master Planning Committee is trying to accomplish with the use of this. I think it's prudent to do it, but I think we have to make sure that we're going to be looking at what we should be looking at and not looking at some little, 20-foot high, 300 cubic foot floating balloon up there, or whatever it might be, that's flapping around. So that's my thought.
And I agree. I certainly understand the need. I mean, one of the things is no merchant has come in here and said, I need this sign today. Or I need this ordinance today, I want to try to get it right. I just want to hear from people that have more of a stake in this than I do to express their opinions, and I'd like to have the advantage of those opinions before we act on this ordinance, proposed ordinance. So that's where I'm coming from.
I look forward to bringing back the thoughts of the CBB, and I think rushing forward now would not be wise.
All right. Okay. One of the last comment I'll make is that again, this was formulated by city staff in interaction with commercial communities, and I think it's been iterated through the input of staff and some of our citizens and our merchants. We have very professional staff who knows how to put these things together. There is some risk involved in this, but on the other hand, it is an assist to the merchants at a period of time when they could use it. So, anybody else? Favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Abstain? Please read the motion.
Yes, sir. Councilmember Riley made a motion to not accept the resolution as presented.
Okay.
It was seconded by Mr. Caldwell.
Okay. Madam Clerk, that was a yay from Ms. Williams, Mr. Caldwell, Mr. Riley, and Mr. Gant, and yes, a nay from Ms. Perusky.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Council. All right, City Clerk, thank you, John. Can you please give me the calendar, please?
Yes, sir. On Tuesday, November 22nd at 3 o'clock p.m. in the Ward Hernandez Building, we have the CBB meeting. On Thursday, November 24th, City Hall will be closed in observance of the Thanksgiving Day holiday. On Friday, November 25th, City Hall will be closed in observance of the Thanksgiving holiday. On Monday, November 28th, the HPC has rescheduled their meeting to 5:30 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. Again, that is the Historic Preservation Commission will have their meeting here in Council Chambers. On Tuesday, November 29th, the Planning Commission meeting will be here at Council Chambers. On Wednesday, November 30th, from 11 a.m. to 2:30, here in Council Chambers will be the JDA SCAD students from Savannah. They will be meeting in here.
Can
on Thursday, yes, sir.
Can you explain that to everybody? I'm not that familiar with it.
JDA has reserved the meeting for the students from Savannah to have a meet with them. That was all the information.
With the Joint Development Authority.
With the Joint Board. With the County Joint Development Authority. Mm-hmm. And that was reserved through Becky.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, she's gone.
Savannah College of Art and Design.
Right.
On Thursday, December 1st, in the executive conference room here in City Hall, the tree board meeting, followed by 6 o'clock PM, master plan steering committee meeting in the St. Mary's Senior Center.
Can I make a correction that we're starting at 3 o'clock that day?
Oh, you are, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to have a long session.
Okay.
Probably from 3 to 8.
3 to 8 PM?
No.
Is it any type of, anything open to the public, or is just?
Oh, yeah, yes, it's open to the public.
No, I mean, like a work session or just a regular meeting?
It's gonna be a regular meeting where we're discussing opportunities,
Okay.
in the various areas, so we needed a long session. It's gonna be at the visitor center.
Visitor center, okay. I think Jeff's on vacation this week, so he'll probably give me that. And I'll get that out, ma'am.
Okay.
On Friday, December 2nd, here in council chambers, municipal court. On Monday, December 5th, here in council chambers, 6 o'clock city council meeting.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Granting audience to public, please come up, speak. Thank you very much. All right. Council comments? Ms. Poruski?
I just want to mention that the Harvest Festival at the Pine Department went really, really well. I'd like to give some of my time to Chief Hatch to come up and talk about it a little bit.
If you all heard screeching, that was a bus that just got thrown under. The Harvest Festival at Pines was the first of its kind, and it was organized by a local resident, Juanita.
Thompson.
Juanita Thompson, and it incorporated a lot of different organizations, including obviously the city police department, the fire department, sheriff's office, as well as Camden Reentry Program. Some of the other people there were vendors for food, but they also had a lot of churches present helping out. But it was a just a day of fun for residents of the Pines, where they would have a safe place to go and see public servants in different lights than they normally would see us, and interact with us and just have a fun time. And it went really well. I don't know what the final count was. It seemed like there was quite a lot of kids that just kind of circled through the whole event all day long. And we were there for about 3 hours, I think, and it went really well. Mm-hmm. Had a good time.
And thanks to everybody that participated in that. And I think it's from a community involvement standpoint, I think we've got to look to be doing more of that, not only from staff but council too. Thanks. Appreciate it, Chief. Jim?
Well, back in September, we had an Alzheimer's walk here, and very successful. And the city was the third top fundraising party, and we were given an award. And I was walking into City Hall with that award, and it fell on a sidewalk and broke into 50 million pieces. But I'm good to say, happy to say, we've been able to replace that award. And we will place it in an appropriate place here in City Hall.
I won't get broken.
And I was so scared I was going to break that thing again coming here tonight.
Can you turn it this way?
Careful.
Let us see. Can you see it?
Oh, it's my turn. Wow, we're all going to be short tonight. I'm going to take the opportunity, and I thought I'd be the third one to do this, but first one now. To wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving and hope you have safe travels this week. And I think the chief was a little bit less than what he could have said the impact of the police and fire departments were over there at Harvest Fest on Saturday. It's really tremendous to see these youngsters who, I'm being told, I had witnesses, and that's what you learn by going to some of these things, used to run from the police and the firemen. They were gathered around them, the firemen. We were playing games with them and doing all those things that give those kids confidence to come to those people in time of need. So my hat's off to you, Chief, and I salute you for the being a leader out there. That's the effort.
Thank you.
So that's all I got.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I too would join in wishing everyone a blessed and wonderful Thanksgiving with your family and friends, and it may it be a blessed one for everyone, and safe turns. Monty, I just pointed out, Monty Vowles, a fairly new resident of St. Mary's, has provided me with a copy of a new magazine, or part of it anyway, called The Lonely Planet. And it has a bucket list in there, said, of the top 10 regions of the world you want to visit before you die. And that includes like places like Peru and Portugal and Chile, South Australia and Ireland and Malaysia, and a little old town called St. Mary's, Georgia. It's number 9. And it's just, you know, really neat. So we're making progress, folks.
Who put that out? Is that one?
I don't know.
No,
it's Lonely Planet. It's a long existing magazine.
Is it?
Travel magazine.
I thought it was fairly new.
This is just a recent article.
This is a recent article. That's right. It's a winter 2016. So yeah, so it's pretty neat.
This ties in well with what Sam has just mentioned. I had the opportunity Saturday night to attend the grand launch of the St. Mary's River Tour organization. And this has just gotten started. It's just getting off the ground. And basically what it is that we have someone now who is designated to keep a close eye on our river. And obviously, our river is very, very, very important to us. So just be aware that this is a new organization, and we are having people to support and monitor what happens on our river. And it was a lovely event at White Oak Plantation. Wonderful dinner. Just great to hear. The speaker was John F. Kennedy Jr., and he was talking about all the waterkeeper organizations that are around the country. And he has started the Waterkeeper Alliance, which is an alliance of all those organizations that monitor waters near cities and counties. Anyway, it was great. Opportunity.
Thank you. All right. White lighting is on Tuesday the 29th at dusk. And I think there might be something else in the week. Was there something else?
Yeah. Mayor's motorcade?
Oh, that's the week of December 7th. So we'll be able to talk about that on the set. Okay. We did celebrate Veterans Day, and a couple of organizations had celebrations here, and then also in Cleveland. So our thanks again to the veterans for all of their services and their continued service. I'd like to Mr. Holman, this is an executive session for real estate.
No, this is an executive session for litigation.
Okay, it's not designated.
He's got his report.
It's not designated on this copy of the agenda.
Oh, you probably need your amended one, sir.
Okay. Is it there then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it is there.
Can I have a motion to go in the executive session?
So moved.
We want him to give his report.
Mr. Ryan? Yes, I'm sorry. We need to have your manager's report.
Yeah, I didn't think you wanted to hear it, Cap.
Yeah, we'll be moving quick. Huh?
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Sam. Thanks, Sam.
You were up on the seat.
All right.
Thank you for coming.
I'll pass this around every month. This is the notice going out of Aliveness History, December 13th, 2016. I want to thank Becky and Angela for their work on that. It's pretty much hard going out to everyone. Now they will be seeing. We will be doing bid openings for the debris removal December 20th. I'm not going to spend long on this report because you can read it. The SBA representative who you met here did go out with Becky and visit our downtown merchants. So we are trying to reach out, just to everybody aware. We have five candidates that will be attending the January Police Academy.
Five.
Good. That would help break the fourth one. And I want to, four, I thought we had five.
We have five, we have four that we have, and one may recycle to the, didn't qualify as a physical area.
Oh, okay, that's right. Okay. Wellness grant was awarded in the amount of $5,000 just yesterday. That's an additional grant that staff worked on and it just received. I want to thank Mayor and Council and all staff for their hard work during the two-day retreat.
Our thanks to you.
Absolutely.
Did a good job.
We are looking forward to working and implementing and working on all of the programs. I just received a copy of the draft report. I'm reviewing it now. We'll be sending it back. And I'm hoping by prior to the 5th, I have that out of all the council and staff for their review and comments in case there's anything else you want to see changed. Excuse me. I will say that I'm looking for a work session on bond refinancing on December 5th at 5:15. This was discussed at the retreat. For us to take advantage of rates and everything, we almost have to move as quickly as we can. There would be a significant savings in interest rate. That is all I have for this evening, unless there's any other questions
from the council.
Okay. Contact me anytime for you to report if something else you don't see or would like to have that.
Are you saying we're going to have a work session on the 5th?
At 5:15.
At 5:15.
I'll have a presentation by Mr. Johnson on the requirements.
Good. Look forward to that. The money we can save from that. Now, can I have a motion to go into executive session for
the motion?
Mr. Caulville.
And second.
Second from Mr. Graves. All in favor?
Oh.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Hold on.
Oh, I was just if I could just have Mr. Caulville say the reason why we're going in.
We're going into executive session for discussion of litigation, pending litigation.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And clerk, unanimous.
Yes, sir.
Leave your stuff here.
Sam?
Faithful to a fault, probably.
Mr. Dan? Lovely,
lovely.
Okay. I'd like to bring this City of St. Mary's November 21st, 2016, council meeting back into order. Mr. Caulville.
I do. Mr. Mayor, I move that we accept the council accept the recommendation of our council, second. Of our legal council.
Second.
Second for Mr. Riley. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. Madam Clerk, it's unanimous.
Yes, sir.
Have a motion.
Move to adjourn, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, Ms. Williams.
Second,
yes.
That as well.
The voice.
Can
I have a second?
Second.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All right, Mr. Ryan. Yes, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. Madam Clerk, that's unanimous.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wow. Thank you, everyone.
All right.
I'm about to go.